We have, should have three homes in our lives. We should have our personal home, and that's what we'll be dealing with a little bit this morning. And then we have our church home, but thank God more than anything else, more importantly, is that we have a heavenly home. And I'm glad I can say I have that, and certainly do not deserve all the blessings that God has given us even down here in this life. As we are here for Mother's Day, this Lord's Day, sometimes we wonder, where do all these things, how did they start, where did they come from? We have had Mother's Days all of our lives that we remember. And so I looked up a little bit about this time that we call Mother's Day, and it really started in a small rural Methodist church in West Virginia. There was a lady by the name of Anna Reeves Jarvis. And I want to read just a little bit about the occurrence. It was 1876, and the nation was still mourning the Civil War dead. While teaching a Memorial Day lesson, Mrs. Anna Reeves Jarvis thought of mothers who had lost their sons. She prayed that one day there would be a Memorial Day for mothers. The prayer made a deep impression on one of her 11 children. Young Anna had seen her mother's efforts to hold civil or war-split community and churches together. As she grew into adulthood, this young woman kept her mother's dream in her heart. On the day of her mother's death, Anna was determined to establish a Mother's Day in honor of her. On May the 12th, 1907, a local observance was held, which later spread to Philadelphia, and by 1910, Mother's Day was celebrated in 45 states, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Canada, and Mexico. Elated, Miss Jarvis told a friend, where it will end must be left for the future to tell. That it will circle the globe now is certain. And on May the 8th, 1914, President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, as a public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of this country. And, of course, now we know the entire world recognizes this special day. I was looking at some of my emails and my Facebook yesterday from different places around this world, and most people were talking about Mother's Day. Some of them were already into Mother's Day when I was reading that last night. Halfway around the world, they were making comment concerning their mothers and how they were blessed. Today we celebrate that day. Today we look at it and we see it as a very special time. But we're living in a world that it doesn't seem too important to a lot of people. Motherhood is mocked and ridiculed in large parts of our society. And those of us that try to live by biblical standards and ways of life, sometimes we're considered to be old-fashioned or archaic, or we really don't matter. But it does not change the fact of what the Word of God tells us, and some things that that I want us to deal with this morning concerning that the subject of a godly mother or a godly lady or even a godly individual man. It comes down to the family unit. It comes down to you and I. It comes to where we are. And I want us to read a passage of Scripture. I'm going to do it a little bit different than normal. I'm going to read in Acts chapter number 12. I'm going to read verse 12 first, and then we're going to go back and get verses 1 through 11. But I want us to read verse 12 first as we are considering what's taking place in this this home. Acts chapter 12, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And when he had considered the thing," and this is speaking of Peter, "he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So here's the home of the young man that we know of as John Mark that is used in other places of the Scripture. This is his mother's place. This is his home. and there is being prayer made for this man called Peter. Now look in verse number 1. Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands and vexed certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the 1st and 2nd ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angels, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark. And notice here, as we read again, where many were gathered together praying. You'll notice as we read this, the Bible says that the church made much prayer for Peter. He had been captured, he had been taken prisoner, and he had been put in bonds where he could not be removed other than a miraculous way. Brother Gallagher this morning talked about in the book of 2 Chronicles, or 2 Kings rather, that God showed up and did a miraculous thing for the people of Israel. This morning as we read this verse, we find that God did a miraculous thing not only for Peter, but he did a miraculous thing for the church. He did something that they saw that no one else could have had that take place. No one else could have accomplished this miracle except the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself. And so they, when Peter, even all the things that were transpiring in his life, he was thinking that he was having a vision. He wasn't even really sure about himself of where he was. But when they got to a certain point and the angel leaves him, then the Bible says he came to himself, realizing what he had gone through was not a vision, but it was a miracle of deliverance, and now he is out of prison and no longer under the surety of the jailer and his soldiers. Now he is free, and he considers what's taken place, and he goes to the house of this woman that is the mother of John Mark, and she is having church in her house. She is having people there that's praying for Peter, and as they prayed, God delivered. Now that's a prime good example of a home that would be serving the Lord. Here's the man of God. Here's the Apostle Peter. He's put in prison. He is endangered. He probably, if left in the circumstances where he was, he would experience the same fate as James had just experienced and would be killed. But here he is taken and put in prison, and the church meets in her house. And by the way, the church of God can meet in any place it wants to meet. This building is not the church, but we are the church. We that are living, breathing, and a part of, and we are a part of that place that God calls His church. And so if we want to come to your house tomorrow or the next day as a church, the church would be there with you in your home. And here this lady had opened her home, and the church was there. And the Scripture says they were making prayer for Peter. And so we find that she had an experience of knowledge and knowing good things that would be done. We thank God for ladies. We thank God for women. We thank God for the good people of the Lord and those that, of our families that have raised us and our moms. As I said earlier, we probably have been thinking of different things this week, and especially the days leading up to this day, because we all have memories. But thank God for mothers who are Christians. Now, there are many mothers that are not Christians, but to be a real good mother, I believe you have to be a Christian, because there's training and there's teaching that has to be given and has to be done. And in our text here, John Mark's mother, in his house, was a place that the church gathered together to pray for a specific thing, and that was for the release of Peter. And that happened, and God blessed that gathering together. I want us to look at some principles this morning of Christian mothers and what they do, and Christian ladies, and really just Christian people, that what we do in order to have the right kind of home that brings about a right kind of church, because a church is only a reflection of what the home is. Just like our country is only a reflection, our society is a reflection of the total gathering of people that are called Americans, and we see that representation all across our country. Our churches are represented by our homes and our families, our individuals, and therefore, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to do things, then we must do according to the work of the Lord. First of all, I think a Christian mother or a Christian lady will be a minister to her family. She will be one that will provide. She'll be one that ministers unto. She will be that one that will give of herself and her time. You look in the book of Proverbs, you find that you look for a virtuous woman, and her children shall rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will call her blessed, and those things that are mentioned, and she will give her children the treasures of the Word of God. I can remember my mom and my grandmother teaching and training me in the things of the Lord when I was so very young that a lot of other things I do not remember, but I do remember how that we always did the things according to God's Word, and we always had our time of prayer. We always had our time of being together and reading the Bible, and that was a ministry that was given unto me from those that loved me and first of all loved the Lord. Now, I know everybody doesn't have that, but thank God for some of us that do have that memory that God used our mothers to be a minister unto us, to give us our thirsting soul the wisdom of the Lord, and that we could trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know it is the Lord that has saved all of us. I know it is Jesus Christ that has brought us to a saving knowledge of Himself. But I'm glad for all the different avenues and all the different ways and all the different people that God uses to bring us to a point that we understand that we are a sinner and we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us can say, I had a preacher that did that. Some of us can say, I had a mother, or some can say I had a father, some can say I had a friend, and some. But the Lord uses so many different people. And I'm glad for the influence, and I'm sure each of you, many of you this morning, could say you're glad for the influence that your mother had upon your life in the ministry of providing the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, either a mother or a father. I'm talking about a family unit together. We find that not only do they minister to the family, but thank God they obey the will of the Lord. The Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, these are two of my favorite verses in all the New Testament. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said, I'm begging you by the mercies or the grace of the Lord. He says that you present yourself a living sacrifice. Now, we think of a sacrifice as something that we give that is dead. The Old Testament had many sacrifices, many lamb offerings and turtle doves and different things they offered at different times. And those sacrifices were always affected by the shedding of blood and the death of that particular animal. But Paul tells us in Romans, he says, we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. God's not interested in a dead sacrifice any longer, for Jesus has become that sacrifice that died upon Calvary's tree. But he wants a living sacrifice. And the scripture goes on and says that we are to present ourselves unto him a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable to serve the Lord. If someone saved your life today from a peril that might come, you would be indebted to them for the rest of your life. You would be thankful to them for the rest of your time upon this earth. Well, I'm glad this morning that I can say we are indebted and we should be thankful for the Lord that gave himself a ransom for you and I, that we might live eternally. And he tells us this is a reasonable service to us. It's something that ought to come natural for the child of God to follow the will of God, to know the understanding of the Lord, to have the message of God in our heart, to serve him. God has a will for each and every one of us this morning. Doesn't matter who we are. If you're saved, if you're born again, then God has a will for your life. And it's a reasonable service that we offer unto him, but we must surrender to that. I can remember different times people telling me, you just have to surrender to the will of God. I had no idea what they meant. I had no idea what it entailed to have a surrendered heart. It just simply means to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's not feasible in our particular time frame. But when God impresses upon us that we are to do something, then it is a reasonable service unto him. Our mothers, our families have obeyed many times the will of God and helps us to speak for the Lord and to strengthen us and to submit ourselves unto God, to submit ourselves unto the will of the Lord. I do not remember a time in my childhood that we did not do what we thought was serving the Lord. And it didn't matter what happened on Sunday. Sunday was the Lord's day. It didn't matter what was going on down the street on Sunday afternoon. I better be back for Sunday night, because Sunday night we went to church. That was my family's ministering unto me. Now, I know everybody's different. I know everybody does different things. But I'm sure glad I have that memory in my heart, that I understood the importance and understand the importance of God's day and God's time. And we must submit ourselves to the will of the Lord. A good mother will minister to her family. She will obey the will of God. And thirdly, she will teach her children God's word. She will teach them according to the things of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord says, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Psalm 78 gives you a whole rule, a whole group of different ways of teaching and what takes place. One teaches another and another teaches that one, and it goes on generation to generation. Teaching children the Word of God. We have a deficiency in that area today. We have a deficiency even in Christian homes, the effect of teaching God's Word. Because I find our homes are too busy doing busy things that maybe are not too important. I find our homes are too busy doing things that take time away from home time. It's a common known fact today that very few families sit down any time during the day together to even have conversation. You don't even go to the restaurant and have conversation because everybody's doing this. And I'm guilty also many times. And so we find that our time has been taken away. Our time has been moved from one area to another. But I can remember time when children were taught the Word of God, not in the house of God, but in the home of that particular person. To have that taught to them and to give them, to teach the Bible what is the right place. The book of Psalms, David says, I will worship toward the holy temple. I praise thy name in loving kindness. Thou hast magnified thy word above all. The word of God is more important, even is magnified more than the name Jehovah. And we need to realize it. And children and adults need to understand we're dealing with an important person. He's called Jesus Christ. You know, some people have no idea, have no understanding of how reverent they should be when talking about God. They live their own life, they do what they want to do, and God becomes a sideline. Jesus becomes a sideline. He's something that we talk about. He's someone that we know a little bit about, but we don't think too much about him anymore. It's just not that important, but thank God for homes and thank God for moms and dads that will teach their children the place of the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is God's Word. It's holy. It's undeniably the Word of the Lord, and we sometimes pass it off and don't even consider what it says. And then we wonder why we're in such a problem in our country. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 11, that the Word of God will keep us from sin. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. What keeps us from sin? Is it somebody holding a rod over us or someone holding a thread over us? No, the thing that should keep us from sin is knowing that it's against the Word of God and against the will of God, and God says, don't do that. I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. That's the purpose of the word. It's a pure word. The scripture tells us in Psalm 12 and 6 that the word of God is pure. It's been purified over and over and over again. And so we have these patterns. We have these things that God gives to our mothers and to our parents and to our loved ones that would teach us and train us in the ways of the Lord. A good mother, a godly mother, will help in the Lord's work. You know, there's a lot of churches that are existing today. If it was not for the ladies of the church, they would not exist. And you know that as well as I do. And so they are helpers in the work of the Lord. We are laborers together with God, the scripture says. We labor, we work, we serve, and when it's time to do, there are those that are willing just to give of their efforts. Not only women, but also men, and not only women and men, but sometimes even children, give of themselves that the work of God might go forward. When you take care of God's work, you take care of the most important thing in your life. When you take care of God's people, you're taking care of most important people in the world. For we are those that have taken the Word of God and applied it to our heart and realized that we needed a Savior. We needed Christ, and He saved us. And so therefore we help in the work of the Lord. We exalt. A godly mother will exalt God to His rightful place in this society. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 12 says we are to consider one another. It goes on and says to provoke one another to love. It goes on and says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the house of God. Children need to know that the house of God is important. It's not a fun and game place. It's not a place just of show. The pulpit and the house of God is a place where we reverence the Lord and thank God for families that will put that first in their life and teach their family and teach their children the ways of the Lord. We need to understand, we need to know, and we need to teach that God meets with His people collectively, and He does it in the house of God. We need to teach our children to know that this is a place where we hear God's word and conviction comes. And when conviction comes on our heart, we need to give ourselves over to the Lord, to be willing to offer ourselves unto Him. We need to teach our children that this is a place of safety from the world. The problem is today, so many of the churches look like the world that they have no idea what safety from the world means. And so this morning we need to revisit maybe the place of what it all is about, that we come to the house of God to get business done for the Lord. I like the story, the message. I don't, if you go on and read, you'll find that this church that was praying for Peter, and Peter is delivered. He knocks on the door, and they don't even believe he's there. They say, "Oh, that's not Peter, because he's in prison and he's in jail." And they're praying that God would deliver him. God delivers him. They don't even believe it. That's where we find ourselves many, many times. Aren't you glad this morning God can do the miraculous? He can do what we cannot do, even though we may not believe and know. We may not understand how He could do it, but thank God He can do anything He so chooses. He saved you one day. He saved me one day. Our names now are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are a child of God. And when we leave this world, we're going to heaven. It's all because somebody cared enough to show us the Word of God. Thank God for moms and dads and families that will do that. For they will rejoice. A mother will rejoice in the family's salvation. And their children will rise up and call her blessed. I've told you time and time again, I was looking through my mom's Bible a few years after she passed. And I had always struggled with not knowing when or what day or when I got saved. And I was looking through her Bible, and there was my name, and there was the date. She had the date of her son. This is my grandmother's Bible. She had the date of her son, of whom I'm named after, and the date he got saved. He was all up in years, and he got saved about a month before I did. He was already in his 30s, maybe even more than that. And then right under that was my name and a date. And I remember my grandmother telling me those were the best 2 days of her life. Why? Because she rejoiced at the salvation of her family. My mom took those dates, and I didn't know anything about it. She took those dates and put them in her Bible. You know why? Because she rejoiced at the salvation of her family. I say that to say this. You do not have to know the day, the month, the year to know you're going to heaven. You don't have to know that. I was a young boy. I didn't have no idea what. I just know I got saved one Sunday night. And I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what I did. I know exactly what I did right after. I know what I did the next day. In telling somebody I'd gotten saved. And I attribute those things to a godly family. And some of you have the same thing. Some of you do not. But you know what? You can start the tradition. You can start the memory for your family that you're that godly mother, that your grandchildren will rise up and say, "You're blessed." May God help us this morning to be a child of the King. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever station in life we find ourselves, that God would use us and that we can be influential in somebody coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers, thank you. Ladies, thank you. Men, dads, families, we owe a debt of gratitude for your love for our Savior. Let's stand together this morning.